want to call us signs and seasons.
Amen.
And there are things that you and I need to know. And there are certain times of things that we need to know so that as we get understanding on this, we can pass it on to individuals. Now, please understand that we can go in such depth that we could be here for a week. So we're only going to touch on certain areas just so that we can get a little understanding so that, you know, then we can do our own studies or as we continue on. One of the things I want to first start off with is in Acts 1, chapter 1. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 4. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Acts chapter 1 and verse 4. Praise God. Lord, illuminate your word for us. Bring an impartation and bring understanding in Jesus' name. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 4. Hallelujah. You know, the Bible tells us in Hosea 4:6 that my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Now, you know, we can get knowledge, we can get understanding, right? But we got to have the wisdom to know what to do with the knowledge and understanding, don't we? Amen. And the Lord said, cry out for wisdom. So, Lord, we cry out for wisdom now in the name of Jesus. And in verse 4 in Acts 1, it says, And being assembled together with them, he, known as Jesus, had commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Now we understand that Jesus commanded them, don't go any further. Don't do another thing. Don't go out and speak to anybody. Don't go out and do anything until you are baptized in the Holy Ghost. Amen? He said, Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? So they were looking at Jesus as the restorer of Israel, bringing everything. Actually, what they were really looking for is to see if Jesus' army was going to destroy the Romans. I mean, that's what the natural mind was looking in that area. You know, well, are you going to restore Israel? In other words, destroy the Roman Empire and so that we can be victorious and be free. And Jesus said to him, it is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. Now, you must understand something. He said, he was talking to them face to face, and he said, in other words, let me make this plain and simple. He was saying, it's not for you to know right now. Do you understand it? It's not for you to know right now. There are other things that we need to go to that you'll get understanding for it. Right now, your mind is looking in the natural realm, wanting me to send you a Roman or an army to destroy the Romans and set you free. But right now, it's not for you to understand this. Does everybody understand that? He says, but you shall receive power. Do you notice he says, but? So what did he do? He changed the subject. He added on. He says, now listen, it's not time for this. Let's go to something else. Okay? He said, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. He was more interested in them becoming witnesses of him instead of them being concerned about the times and seasons. Not that they wouldn't be later, but at this period of time, he was concerned that they didn't get involved in that circumstance, but they made it and stayed in Jerusalem until they got baptized in the Holy Ghost. Amen? See, now we know that Jesus was already fulfilling the time and season, wasn't he? He says, it's not for you to know the times and seasons, but he was already there fulfilling one. Amen? So we know that he does want us to have the understanding of these things, but there was a time for it. So we see here that Jesus was fulfilling the time and season, prophesied by the holy prophets. And then times and seasons were given to Paul as to the age of grace and the rapture, wasn't it? So we see that God wasn't withholding times and seasons, was he? He wasn't withholding these signs from them. He was just telling them not yet for them. Because we know that Jesus was already a fulfillment of a time and season and a sign, and he was already revealing times and seasons to Paul about the rapture and about the church and everything else. So understand, God isn't withholding those things from us. He was just prolonging something so that they wouldn't lose course at that period of time. Then they would get it, right? Because we know Paul became one of the great apostles, right? And God revealed all of these things to him, didn't he? Okay, let's go to John 16. Hallelujah. In John chapter 16. So when people say to us, you know, well, man, it's not for you to know the time and season. Well, that's ridiculous. It is for us to know the times and seasons. Does everybody understand that? You know? But there was a time for it, for us to get understanding, wasn't there? Hallelujah. It's not that we're supposed to live our life trying to figure out times and seasons. His first priority is for me and you to be the witness of Jesus Christ. That's his first priority. Because you know what? Even if you figured out times and seasons, what good would it to know the time and season and not be a witness? Because no one's going to believe you anyways. Amen? So, praise God. And John 16 and verse 12. Now Jesus is speaking to his disciples and he says, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, he's saying, however, now listen, I'll be able to tell you more things when he, the Spirit of truth, has come. He will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. So we understand that the Holy Spirit, Jesus wasn't about to explain to him all of these things. He was leaving it up to the Holy Spirit. Amen. But so his first priority was that they would be a witness, that they would have fellowship, and the Holy Spirit would guide them to all truth. In verse 14, and it says, he will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. So do you think times and seasons are the Father's? He said it was, right? He says, all the things that the Father has are mine. So they'll declare it to you. So certain things will be revealed to us. They will be revealed to us. They were revealed to the prophets, weren't they? That they spoke certain things in. Things are being revealed to you right in here of certain things of your life, of certain seasons of your life, certain times of your life. There are things happening, and there are certain things that are being fulfilled that have been prophetic words or prophetic scriptures that are being revealed right now, or else we wouldn't even know they were being fulfilled, were they, if we didn't understand them. Amen. So times and seasons have to be revealed to us, don't they? Hallelujah. Go to Matthew 16, please. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, so many people come up and say, well, man, you're not supposed to know the time and season. I'm like, hey, I'm a child of the Most High God. I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. You know, I'm not going to go out and speculate a date, time, an hour. But we are children of God. We should know seasons and times for certain events that are happening. How would we be able, not only that, is you want to be able to tell others about things that are going to occur. Why? So it can bring glory to the Lord. Amen. Amen. Like we know President Bush is the anointed man of God that God has put in place right now. And you're going to see revival. I mean, the issues he's working on right now is to let the children not be forced. They have to go to certain schools. So they can be homeschooled. So they can go back to Christian schools. Hallelujah. And his next great issue is abortion. Look at those two issues that are on top of his priority because he's the servant of the Lord. In his cabinet, he is chosen. And there's nothing they can do. God's put his cabinet together and it don't matter how much they scream and yell, they're not going to be removed. They're going to be used to bring change. Amen? Praise God. Ooh, things are about to hit this country. In Matthew 16, in verses 1, then the Pharisees and Sadducees came testing him, Jesus, asked that he would show them a sign from heaven. He answered and said to them, when it is evening, you say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and threatening. Hypocrites, you know how to discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times. So even Jesus rebuked them for not knowing the signs of the times. Does everybody understand that? It is important as children of God that we know the signs of the times. Amen? He said, a wicked and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign shall be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. And he left them and departed. Now we know that the sign of the prophet of Jonah was he was in the belly for 3 days, wasn't he? Of the whale. And that was the sign that Jesus was going to give them, wasn't it? He was going to be in hell for days. So we see that through the Holy Spirit, these things can be, they could get understanding, couldn't they? You and I can get understanding of these things. You and I can do the parallels now of understanding through the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And so Jesus said, you're not going to understand these things without the Holy Spirit, amen? Now we see here that he says, discerning the signs of the times, well, his resurrection was a parallel of the church rapture also. Does anybody get it? This is going to be a parallel of the church rapture that will be a sign to those left behind. Now, Jesus' resurrection was a sign for them. And the rapture of the church is going to be a sign for those who are left behind, which is another resurrection, isn't it? It's a snatching away. Does everybody understand that? So we see here that there's a parallel. Now, he said to them, the only sign that will be given to you or this generation will be the sign of Jonah, which would Jesus would be in hell for 3 days and raised. But there is a parallel to that because the next sign that's going to be left for this world is the resurrection of the body of Christ, which will be a sign. So we see that Jesus didn't tell us not to know the signs, did he? Or the times. Is everybody with me? He's saying you should know the signs of the times. It's important to me and you. If you go to Genesis chapter 1, and I love it because of the parallel of when he says, in 3 days, representing Jonah and his resurrection, right? Now I want to go to the third day of Genesis. In Genesis 1, praise be to God. So we see Jesus said that there would be a sign in 3 days, right? It would be a sign for 3 days. Now in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 13, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. Is everybody with me? Now, we know that God set certain days and standards, didn't he? Okay. We know that in the book of Genesis, the first chapter begins to separate days. There was the first day, then there was a second day. And I just want to go back up a little bit here in verse 6. And then God said, let there be firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters, and so forth. And he called these days, and he kept going. He said in verse 11, then God said, let the earth bring forth grass and the herbs and so forth. And in verse 12, it says, and the earth brought forth grass and herbs and yield seeds according to all kinds, and the trees that yielded fruit. And then it said, so the evening and the morning were the third day. So we see here, even at this third day, that God was bringing forth bringing forth things out of... These were signs. In fact, the Bible says that the glory of the Lord is all over the earth, wasn't it? Well, we're seeing signs all over. You know, in other words, you're seeing trees, you're seeing... These are all sorts of signs, aren't they? They're continuous signs. And then he talked about firmament and light and signs in the heavens. And so all of these things that you and I see are a representation of signs, aren't they? Everything that you and I look at, you know, when you get born again, those scales are taken off your eyes. You see everything is of God.
Amen.
You know, hey, you're sitting on the couch or a chair. I'm telling you, that's from God. Because he's the one that gave the wisdom and knowledge and understanding to manufacture that. Amen? When you get born again, all of these, everything is assigned to you. Everything, no matter what you look at, is like, man, powerful. You know, we turn on our lights and we take it for granted sometimes. But God gave, that's a sign. I mean, God harnessed his power of electricity to be utilized for man. You know, that can kill, right? But it also can be a benefit, can it? I mean, just electricity in itself is a sign from God. You know, it's just powerful. So when we begin to just look at things, we see that signs are there. Signs, no matter where you look, are signs. But you and I must discern signs and times. Amen. And 1 Thessalonians 5. Praise be to God. Thank you, Holy Spirit. 1 Thessalonians in chapter 5. This is a simple little teaching we're going to talk about tonight. It's not long, hallelujah, but you know, it's just a continuation of some of the things that the Lord is bringing us into, hallelujah. 1 Thessalonians in chapter 5, blessed be the name of the Lord, for he's faithful when we're faithless, glory to God, hallelujah. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 1. Is everybody with me? But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. Why? Because he expressed it to them already. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. Why? Because Paul had already explained this to them. Is everybody with me? He explained to them the times and the signs and seasons. So now he's sending them a letter, wasn't he? His letters are usually of correction. In verse 3, for when they say peace and safety, now wouldn't that be a sign? He was telling them when they say peace and safety, that's a sign, isn't it? Then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. Now he's talking about Israel. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, hello, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. In other words, because we should know the times and the signs. You are all sons of what? Light. And sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. So we understand because we are not of the night nor of the darkness that we are the light, because the true light has come and brought his light and brought truth, that you and I should have understanding of signs and times. Amen. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the helmet of the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. So we know that we are not appointed to the wrath of God, are we? Which is the tribulation. Who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. So we see that he had already shared with them about signs, didn't he? We are sons of light. Like I said, one of the signs to them of the coming of the end would be a representation of, they would say peace, they would say safety, and he knows that, and then they know, well, when it seems to be peace and safety, it's going to be false peace and safety. And we know that that's going to happen during a tribulation because he's going to sign, the Antichrist is going to sign a 7-year treaty. There will be a false peace. Amen. So he had already explained all this to them. Why? Well, he had to because he was reminding them in this letter. Does everybody understand that? It's important. Go to Revelation 12. Hallelujah. Revelation 12. Paul kept his church up to date. In fact, he kept them in the future. Amen. Praise God. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. And Revelation chapter 12 and in verse 1. Now a great what? Sign. A great sign appeared in the heaven. A woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a garland of 12 stars. Now we know that this is a representation of Israel because she was the woman. Israel is known as the woman. The 12 stars are a representation of the 12 apostles or the 12 tribes of Israel. Okay? So we understand that in parallel, let me explain this. The woman would have been known as Mary, the mother of Jesus, but it's known as also Israel. The 12 stars are a representation of the 12 apostles when Jesus was here, but also a representation of the 12 tribes of Israel representing Israel. Is everybody with me? Now, she was clothed with the sun. Of course, we know that she was clothed with the Son of God, but the sun is the brighter light, isn't it? And the moon is the lesser light. As a matter of fact, the moon gets the light from the reflection of the sun. So we know that the moon is a representation of a false light or a counterfeit. Thank you. A counterfeit light. Hallelujah. So we see here that, and on her head are a garland of 12 stars. In verse 2, then being with child, she cried out in labor and in pain to give birth. And another sign appeared in heaven, behold, a great fiery red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 diadems on his head. His tail drew a third of the stars. Now we know those are representation of angels. And we also know that what he's talking about, the 7 heads and 10 horns, those are a representation of government, kingdoms. Okay? And his tail drew a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth to devour her child as soon as it was born. So we know that this had to be when Jesus was on the earth. You understand that this scripture right here was talking of something that was and that is to come. So there's a parallel in here. But you won't understand it without the Holy Ghost. Is everybody with me? She bore a child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up to God and his throne. So we know that that was representation of Jesus. Amen. So, let's go to verse 6. Then the woman fled into the wilderness, where she has a place prepared by God, that they should feed her 1,260 days, which is 3.5 years. Now, we also know that this is a part of the tribulation, which will be for 3.5 years. Does everybody understand this? Because he's talking about something to come, because God prepares a place for Israel for protection. Is everybody with me? So, I mean, wouldn't you call these signs? Amen. Wouldn't you call these understandings of signs? Amen. By the interpretation of the Holy Spirit? Okay, so remember, Jesus didn't tell us not to search them. He didn't want us to be caught up in so much of it. His first course for me and you was to be the witness and the power of his glory by casting out devils, being a sign. The Bible even says praying in tongues is a sign to an unbeliever. Amen. Amen. It's a sign to an unbeliever. Amen. Being a witness is a sign. So signs are significant and important. And it is important that you and I know signs of the times and seasons. It's important. And especially what time and season we are in right now. Now, we did the teaching on this generation, so we know, according to the signs and the times, that most likely, unless the Lord tarries, that this is the generation. In fact, most likely, I can't believe that it wouldn't be. I mean, I can almost absolute it, you know. So, according to the scriptures and prophetic word of all the things that are happening. Hallelujah. Well, let's go a little bit further. Also, I'm going to share one other thing in the scripture. The seven heads as a representation of the seven mountains of Rome. Okay? Rome was in rule, wasn't it, when Jesus was here? Rome will be in rule when he returns. The Roman Empire will be in rule again. In fact, it's already manifesting. And we're going to talk a little bit about that. It's already, the Roman Empire is already here in rule. And we don't even understand it yet. Okay? Just like Jesus, when he came, there were certain signs, certain standards. Rome, three things had to really manifest. Rome had to be in rule because, first of all, they were ruler of the world, weren't they? So that anything could get around quicker, couldn't it? If you have one ruler, right, things get around quicker. One of the things that had to happen was, three things had to happen. They had to have one common language. They had to have one common writing. And they had to have roads so that people can get, and transportation of ships and so forth. In other words, things had to be routed. Why? So God could spread his word. Those three things were in effect. Now, for Jesus to come again, the Roman Empire must be reestablished. And it is. We just don't see it. Common language, right? Computers is the greatest common language there is. Internet, so forth. Writings, interpretations. There isn't one language that's not interpreted as far as we know. Right? And of course, we know that there are satellites to get everything out. The Bible tells us that this gospel must be preached to all ends of the earth before his return. So we see all of these standards are reestablishing again for the return of Christ. And we'll talk a little bit more about that. One of the great signs was in Daniel. And let's go to Daniel chapter 12. Let's not go to Daniel yet. Let's go to Daniel 12 anyways. But there was a great sign in Daniel, and we'll go there. First, I want to go to Daniel 12. I want to show you another sign that has to happen. Daniel chapter 12, hallelujah, in verse 4. Daniel chapter 12 and verse 4. Blessed be the name of the Lord. God's got a plan and we're in it. Help me, Holy Ghost. Daniel 12 and verse 4. Oh, this is powerful. Actually, let's start at verse 1. Because this is too good. At that time, Michael shall stand up. Now, Michael, please understand that. This is Archangel Michael, the warrior. He protects Israel. He is the prince over Israel. Okay? He's the prince over Israel. All right. At that time, Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people, which is Israel. And there shall be a time of trouble. Now he's talking about tribulation that hasn't occurred yet. Such as never was seen since there was a nation. So we know that such trouble has never occurred yet. It has to be trouble that has never occurred, such great trouble. Even to that time. And at that time your people shall be delivered, everyone who is found written in the book. The book of what? The book of life. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. That's resurrection. Some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. In other words, leading people to the Lord. Amen? And verse 4, but you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Now God showed Daniel many signs, didn't he? And many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. Are people running to and fro? It's a lot. You can get anywhere in this world, can't you? And hasn't knowledge increased? I mean, come on. If you go back even the last 20 years, you know what? I was brought up watching black and white TV. I saw color TV come into effect. I remember watching Batman in color. Praise God. You know, so knowledge is increased, isn't it? In a great way. People can go anywhere in the world. Amen? Amen? Praise God. And verse 5, then I, Daniel, looked, and there stood two others, one on this river's bank and one on another river bank. And one said to the man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the river, how long shall the fulfillment of these wonders be? Then he goes on to explain to him, and I'm not going into that teaching tonight. Okay, so we see that this is a sign that is already manifested before our eyes, hasn't it? Amen. Amen? Now I'll go to Revelation 13. Glory, hallelujah. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. It is good to hear the pages turning on a Tuesday night. Revelation chapter 13. Now, I know that some of this, I'm just sharing some parts so we can get some understandings, okay? And verse 11, now this is, John is in the Spirit, the Lord is revealing to him as he's writing the book of Revelation, okay? He shares with them, he says, in verse 11, chapter 13, he says, then I saw another beast coming out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb. So we must understand that the two horns like a lamb is a representation of the reflection of the Lamb of God. Okay, two horns representing power, all right? Or authority. And spoke like a dragon. So it's going to be someone that's like a lamb, but it's going to speak like a dragon. It's going to be a false individual, isn't he? It's going to be a false Christ of some sort, won't he? Okay? And he exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence and causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast. So this lamb or this false image, false Christ, is going to cause people to worship this beast. Okay? Is everybody with me? He performs great signs. Hello? Another great signs. So that he even makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. He deceives those who dwell on the earth by signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived. Now these signs, you know, I mean, people go to psychics and get signs, don't they? And they think that it's from God. But they're not. Because even this Antichrist is giving signs, isn't he? And they're not from the Lord, are they? So it's leading people astray, isn't it? Okay. Now he says, they're going to make an image of this, and they're going to worship this image. In verse 15, he was granted power to give breath to this image of the beast. Now we see that this image is going to become alive. Now we know that computers are, they can almost come alive, can't they? You know, these robotics and so forth, you can put an image and it can actually almost come alive. In fact, machines, computers, they're going so advanced that they can almost, they have computers now that you don't even have to say a word. They hook it to you, you think it, and it does it. Wild, isn't it? They've got chips now that they want to implant in people that have been paralyzed and so forth, to where if you think about moving your leg, it's going to move. So all of these things are coming into effect. This is right now. Hallelujah. So this beast, it says, and he will grant power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. So those who won't even worship this image will be killed. Okay? They're going to be killed. And verse 16. He causes all, say all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads. And that no one may buy or sell except one who he has the mark of the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Remember we talked about you can have knowledge and understanding. But you got to have wisdom to know how to use it. Here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. His number is 666. Now we see here that, here's another sign, isn't it? So, you got to have wisdom to understand this number of the beast, and it's of a man. Now we know that 6 is a representation of man. Okay, because the Bible tells us in Genesis, and I'll tell you exactly, in Genesis 1, in verse 26 to 31, you don't have to turn there, that on the sixth day, God created man. So the number 6 is a representation of man. Somebody with me? And 6 is one number short of perfect, isn't it? Because number 7 is representation of perfect or complete. Amen. And the Bible says God created all things, or you know, actually reestablished all things in 6 days, right? And on the seventh day he rested. So we know that 6 is a representation of man. 7 is a representation of God, isn't it? Okay. So let's go a little bit further. He says that they will have a mark. Now the Bible says that you and I are sealed with the Holy Spirit, doesn't it? Which is a representation of a seal, is a stamp, representing stamp of approval. Mark is a representation of a engraved, sketched, or tattooed. That's what a mark is a representation of. Okay? Now, these things, because there's 3 of them, tells us that 3 things must come into place by man. Now, we've talked before that that democracy will actually elect the Antichrist. These 3 things represent, let me share with you, 666 is a representation. The first thing it represents is a political, in other words, government. Political or government. Remember I share with you that the Roman Empire must be reestablished again. So the first 6 is a representation of government. The Roman Empire must be reestablished again, and it's happening right now. It's almost completed. Okay? The second 6 is a representation of an economical or economy strategy that they are doing. What are they doing? They're going to actually squeeze people. In other words, they're going to have federal trust where there will be no more cash flow. Well, the only thing that you can do or starve, is everybody with me, is to take the mark, because it says, and you will not be able to buy or sell. So we see that the first six must be a representation of government, political. The second six is a representation of economical, because it represents money. And the third one that must be fulfilled is the representation of religion, because it said that they must worship the beast. So we must, there must be a religion that's going to lead to the worship of this beast, which is the next six. So these people that will be here, or even right now, the Antichrist will be in his full bloom when all sixes are fulfilled. Is everybody with me? Okay? So we see 666 represents, it's a sign, isn't it? The political rule of the Antichrist, the economical rule, and the religious rule of the Antichrist. Is everybody with me? Praise be to God. Now we know the great, and he says, when you must worship this image. Now I want to bring to you the image he's speaking about. And let's go to Daniel 2. Oh, hallelujah. Daniel chapter 2. Praise be to God. We're going to talk a little bit about 6. Now let's go to what Daniel saw, what the Lord revealed to him. And this is when King Nebuchadnezzar was rule. And then, praise be to God. And Daniel had the vision, and the king couldn't get anyone to interpret it. And God made way for Brother Danny to go over there and interpret it and bring glory to his heavenly daddy. In verse 32, please. Chapter 2, verse 32. Now he begins to tell him what he saw. He said, this image's head was a fine gold, its chest and arms of silver, its belly and thighs of bronze, its legs of iron, its feet partly of iron and partly of clay. He said, you watch while a stone was cut out without hands. Now, nothing can be cut out without hands unless it's God. Okay? Which struck the image on its feet of iron and clay and broke them in pieces. Now, this is the dream that he had, okay? Then the iron, the clay, the bronze, the silver, and the gold were crushed together and became like chaff from the summer threshing floor. The wind carried them away so that no trace of them was found. And the stone that struck the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. This is the dream. Now we will tell the interpretation of it before the king. Is everybody there? Okay. You, O king, are the king of kings, for God of heaven has given you a kingdom, power, strength, and glory. And wherever the children of men dwell, or the beasts of the field, and the birds of the heaven, he has given them into your hand and has made you ruler over them all. You are this head of gold. So we see he's talking about the Roman Empire, or what we would call, well, actually not the Roman Empire, the Babylonian Empire was rule here, forgive me. It was the Babylonian Empire. Okay? Hallelujah. Now, so we see that the head here is the Babylonian Empire, which was gold. That's the highest material on this earth, isn't it? The most precious. All right. Praise God. Verse 39, but after you shall arise another kingdom inferior to yours, then another, a third kingdom of bronze, which shall rule over all the earth. And the fourth kingdom shall be as strong as iron, inasmuch as iron breaks its pieces and shatters everything. And like iron that crushes, that kingdom will break in pieces and crush all the others. Whereas you saw the feet and the toes partly of potter's clay and partly of iron, the kingdom shall be divided. Yet the strength of the iron shall be in it, just as you saw the iron mixed with ceramic clay. And as the toes of the feet were partly of iron and partly of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly fragile. As you saw iron mixed with ceramic clay, they will mingle with the seed of men, but they will not adhere to one another, just as iron does not mix with clay. And in the days of these kings, the God of heaven shall set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. Now, has he done that yet? No. So we know that these are to come. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people. It shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. So we know that this is a part of prophecy that must be fulfilled. Now, he was showing this to Nebuchadnezzar. But there was another part of this prophecy that must be reestablished again. This kingdom, this image of this beast must be reestablished again. Does everybody hear me? Okay. Now, I'm going to share with you, first of all. Six is a representation of man. Also, we know that 666 is a representation of Satan or the Antichrist, political, economical, and religious. Now, in this period of time, during this rule, okay, we see that Babylonian was a representation of the head, wasn't it? Now, the shoulders or the breastplate and the two arms were of silver, and that was known as the Medes and the Persians because they were going to rule then. Okay, remember he explained this. So two arms would mean two kingdoms, wouldn't it? So this is the Medes and the Persians. Then with Alexander the Great, all right, when he took over, and his kingdom was divided into four, that was known as the Grecian or the Greeks took over because Alexander the Great was from Greece. Now we see that the Roman Empire takes over next. Those are known as the two legs. Okay? Because if you look at the two legs of this beast, they were the longest. The legs are longer than the breastplate and head and so forth. Is everybody with me? I know I'm just kind of skimming over this. I'm not going to go in great depth, okay? Just so you get an understanding of signs. All right. And so the two legs represent, they were iron legs, weren't they? Iron legs, which iron is strong. And it was a representation of Rome. Now, then there was 10 toes, and there was 2 feet. And the Bible says that in the toes, or in the feet, was clay and iron. Now, what was the iron curtain represented? Communism. And clay represents democracy. Okay? It said they couldn't mingle together, could they? Couldn't mingle together. And the toes are a representation of 10 kingdoms. And this is all a part in prophecy of what's in the book of Revelations, and all these things are coming to pass. Now, I want to go back a little bit because after all of these things and things that must be established again, all right, major empires that must be established again, there will be 6 of them. Egypt, Assyrian, the Babylonians, the Medo-Persians, the Greeks, and the Romans. I'm going to go over this again. I'm just sharing with you 6. All right? Egypt, Assyria, Assyrians, Babylonians, Medo-Persians, Greeks, and the Roman Empire. Now listen, the Roman Empire, which became, this is how it all got reestablished again. All right? This is how this whole thing got reestablished again. It started off with what? Egypt was rule, wasn't it? Remember, they held Jews, didn't they? Right? Then the Assyrians were at rule. Then the Babylonians took Egypt captive, didn't they? This is all biblical. Then the Medo-Persians, the Greeks, and then the Romans ruled for a long period of time. Now, check this out, just to let you know. The Roman Empire then became the Holy Roman Empire, and I'll explain that, ruled for 666 years. Hello? 666 years. I would say that was a mark in itself. Praise God. Now, I'm just going to go over this briefly, just so that you get an idea. The two legs which represent the Roman Empire. All right. Just to give you an idea of what happened. When Constantine became ruler, he invited Christianity, and that's how we got all these names of the days of the week, because they all represent pagan gods. Saturday, the Saturn god, Sunday, the sun god, the moon god, and all this other stuff. All right, that's how we got these names of pagan gods. So what happened was they began to mix Christianity with Roman rule or paganism. And then what happened at a period of time, they split, so that's why you see the two legs of the Roman Empire. One was for the east and one's for the west. Then the Catholic Church, remember that's why it was called the Holy Roman Church. The Roman Catholic Church got involved, and then we got into the Dark Ages and so forth, didn't they? And they began to persecute the Christians and so forth. So I'm not going to go in depth in that. I just wanted to share that a little bit with you so we can go a little bit further about this image. So you see that this image is a representation of what has to come. Now, what has to come is the Roman Empire. Now, we see that the European common market is a representation of the Roman Empire being reestablished. In fact, all around the Mediterranean Sea, you got Turkey, and you've got all of those areas, which is where the Roman Empire was before, Italy, and they're all reestablishing right now. In fact, they already have their own currency called the Euro dollar. So you see that there are, and they're trying to get this globally. In fact, right now, do you know that they are convincing, like Iran and so forth and whatever, because they're dealing with them, because they're getting involved in where the oil is. I mean, the oil controls the world, doesn't it? Amen. You control the oil, you control the world. They are trying to say right now, they're trying to change it, that they want people to buy the oil with gold, because they know that prophetically that you won't be able to, the only thing that will be worth anything is gold. But they don't know the true understanding of prophetic, that there won't be any money, that you won't be able to buy with gold or silver. So they're trying to change it right now, like Iraq and so forth. They're trying to make it where they don't want no money, they want gold. Isn't that wild? But right now, the European common market is trying to make everyone go over to their dollar so that we can have one global finance. Isn't that what we're talking about economically? So once they get to one global finance, they can stop that so that the only thing you can do. You know, let me share something with you. How the powers of darkness work. I'm going to give an example. Africa, Sudan, in that area. The first thing they did was disarm the believers. Then they killed them. That's what they're trying to do in this country. They're trying to disarm the people so they can take it over. Clinton was sold out. He doesn't even understand it. He was sold out to one world government. Remember we talked about how he would not, he stopped allowing us to establish our embassy over in Israel. And now Bush's concern is to get our embassy in Israel. Right? Amen. So he has been working for darkness. Now whether he knows it or not, I don't know. But he also disarmed our army, didn't he? He disarmed the government's power. I mean, can you imagine that? We don't even have the equipment or the parts to go over to Desert Storm right now. We are short over 800 pilots. I mean, look at all the bases during Clinton's administration. It's hard for me to even say that. His administration disarmed the government by shutting down bases and sending money in other directions. Amen. So we see here that one of the things that's happening, the Roman Empire is being reestablished. The Holy Roman Empire is being reestablished. And in fact, for you to join the European Common Market, you have to be elected to, so that you can trade with them. They're coming to a point where you can't trade with them unless you're in the European Common Market, which is going to affect a lot of the trading, isn't it? So you have to become a part of their organization or you won't get goods. But do you see how everything is surrounded by money? In other words, money, you can't buy food. Money, you can't buy water. Money causes people to starve. Money, people do anything. They'll worship whoever to eat, won't they? Some will. Unless you know Jesus. Hallelujah. I want to give you another little insight. The barcodes. The formula for the barcodes of buying and selling is, the formula is under the 666 code. In fact, on your internet, www.whatever, the letter W in Hebrew, the number means six. So you've got 666.com. Do you understand? This is what's happening. I mean, do people of the natural realm know these things? Of course not. They won't understand it. They think you're a looney tune. Praise God. I've been called worse. Hallelujah. So you see that this mark is going to be a fulfillment. It's a fulfillment. First, the mark of the political. There must be the Roman Empire reestablished again, right? The second thing, the money must be controlled. And the third thing, religion must be controlled. Okay? Let's go a little bit further. Hallelujah. And Genesis 4. Genesis 4. Praise God. Genesis 4, verse 9. And verse 9 it says, "Then the Lord said to Cain, where is Abel your brother? He said, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, what have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground." Huh. So now you are cursed from the earth which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you till the ground, it shall no longer yield its strength to you. A fugitive and vagabond you shall be on the earth. Now listen. Remember it said, those who receive this mark, this is exactly what they'll be like. In other words, they will not be able to what? Eat or drink without the mark. Do you see the parallel with this? The same, except for, you'll see. In other words, there'll be no food. And Cain said to the Lord, "My punishment is greater than I can bear. Surely you have driven me out of this land from the face of the ground, and I shall be hidden from your face. I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond on the earth, and it will happen that anyone who finds me will kill me." And the Lord said to him, "Therefore, whoever kills Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold." And the Lord set a mark on Cain, lest anyone finding him should kill him. So the mark was a representation of, well, first of all, it was protecting Cain from being killed by anyone, but it was also a mark of God's judgment. God judged Cain, didn't he, for what he did. But this mark from God was protecting Cain from what? Being killed because of his judgment. So anyone who would see him would think he was a vagabond, they would kill him, wouldn't they? He said, but anyone who sees this mark, it will be known that anyone who kills him, sevenfold judgment will be on that person. Okay, so this mark was a representation of protection. When God marks you, you're protected. Do you understand that? When the devil marks you, you're judged. You're in judgment. Hallelujah. Let's go to Ezekiel 9. Ezekiel chapter 9. Glory to God. All blessed be the name of the Lord. In Ezekiel chapter 9. Did I lose anybody yet? Signs and times. Ezekiel chapter 9. Glory to God. In verse 1. And then he, the Lord, called out in my hearing with a loud voice, saying, "Let those who have charge over the city draw near, each with a deadly weapon in his hand." And suddenly, how many? Six men came from the direction of the upper gate, which faces north, each with a battle axe in his hand. One man among them was clothed with the linen and had a writer's ink hook at his side. Inkhorn, thank you. They went in and stood beside the bronze altar. Now the bronze is always a representation of judgment. Now the glory of the Lord, the bronze altar. Now the glory of the Lord of Israel had gone up from the cherub where it had been to the threshold of the temple. And he called to the man clothed with linen who had the writer's inkhorn on his side. And the Lord said to him, "Go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and put a mark on the foreheads of the men who sigh and cry over all the abominations that are done within it." Now we see here that they were interceding, weren't they? They were weeping over the abominations and the things of God. Now what was he doing? He was marking them, wasn't he? So it was a mark of protection. Why? Because God was about to bring judgment on them. We know that the 144,000 witnesses in the book of Revelations will be sealed. In other words, they will be sealed for protection while God brings judgment on the earth. In verse 5, it says, and to the others, he said, in my hearing, "Go after him through the city and kill. Do not let your eyes spare nor have any pity. Utterly slay old and young men, maidens, and the little children and women, but do not come near anyone on whom is the mark, and begin at my," what? "Sanctuary." So they began with the elders who were before the temple. Now you got to understand this. This is why God says judgment begins in the house of God. So judgment is in the house of God right now. Right now. That's why we got to get squeaky clean. Hallelujah. So we see that 666 is a representation of mark of judgment given by Satan, and God's mark is a mark of protection. Is everybody with me? Praise be to God. Now, hallelujah. Representing the sixes, I want to share this with you. Let's go to Daniel 3. Daniel 3. Hallelujah. This, and they must all receive the mark. And they must all worship the beast. But God's got a plan. And we're in it. And Daniel chapter 3. Now I want to go back to Nebuchadnezzar. I'm going to talk about this image again because we're a representation of this beast, this mark. It's a sign, isn't it? Okay. In chapter 3, in verse 1, Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold, whose height was what? 60 cubits, and its width 60 cubits. And it set up on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Now, I want you to understand something. I'll go a little bit further. This is powerful. And the king Nebuchadnezzar sent word to gather together the satraps and administrators, the governors, the counselors and treasurers, the judges, the magistrates, and the officials of the provinces to come to dedication of the image which King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Now, we just talked about that, didn't we? And that in the tribulation, that they have to worship this beast. So remember, we talked about this beast being a representation of political, right? A representation of money, and a representation of religion. So you see that they did this here in the time of Nebuchadnezzar also. This whole thing is going to be reestablished. Does everybody understand that? Okay. So they all came, the administrators, the governors, counselors, the treasurers, and so forth, the magistrates and officials, and for the dedication of the image. The king Nebuchadnezzar had set up, and they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then a herald cried aloud to you, "It is commanded, O peoples of nations and languages, that at the time you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the harp, the lyre, the psaltery, in symphony with all kinds of music, you shall fall down and worship the gold image that the king Nebuchadnezzar has set up." Now I want to share something with you. There is a mark here. It says that it was what? 60 cubits. That's 1/6. That it was 6 cubits wide. That it's 2/6. And I want you to understand that there were 6 instruments, 6 representation of instruments. There's 5 it speaks of, but then there was the choir, which is known as an instrument. Is everybody with me? So we see that that image was a representation of 666 at that time, wasn't it? Hello? Come on, I'll show you another one. And 1 Samuel 17. Glory! Holy Ghost power. 1 Samuel 17. 1 Samuel 17 in verse 4. Everybody all right? Well, you're all still here. Praise God. 17:4. Now we know this is when David was going to fight Goliath, the Philistine. And the champion went out from the camp of the Philistines, named Goliath, from Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. He had a bronze helmet on his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail. The weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of bronze. And he had a bronze armor on his legs and bronze javelin between his shoulders. Now the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his iron spear weighed 600 shekels, and a shield bearer went before him. Now, he had 3 sixes here also. The first 6 was a representation of the 6 cubits, right? 600 shekels. And it talked about his armor, which was 6 pieces. Hello? 666 was Goliath. Goliath wanted David to worship him. In fact, everybody was so afraid of him, it was ridiculous. So we see that even Goliath was a representation of the image. Amen? Okay, let's go to Matthew 17. Praise God. In Matthew 17, Matthew chapter 17, 666. Remember we talked about 666 was a representation of political, economical, and religious or spiritual. So we see here that, you know, we're talking about right now and how like that this is coming into effect right now. I mean, it's happening right now. Look at where we're going at. We're going to a cashless society. European common market is manifesting. All of these, the government is already sold out. In fact, the UN, now check this out. The United Nations, the Bible says that there was going to be one that comes on a white horse, right? And we know that that one is going to be a false one, because it says that things were given to him. Well, nothing has to be given to Jesus. Okay? Jesus comes with it all. Now, what is the color of the UN? Look at all their vehicles. White. And they come in peace, don't they? In safety. Come on, let's get understanding here. They come in peace and safety. You know what they're doing? They're trying to disarm the world. Because they're a part of the one world order. In fact, even on your dollar, it talks about one world order, doesn't it? It's in Greek. It says, "In God we trust." And it's got some Greek lettering there. And it represents one world order. And it shows the sun god there. That's not our god. And that was put in 1933. You look at your dollar bill. So we see all of these things have come into effect. The Holy Roman Empire is being established. Even the Pope. I'm not saying the Pope's the Antichrist. But out of the Holy Roman Catholic Church, the false prophet will come. He will come out of there. And we see that they will coordinate, because they're even trying to get one global religion now. The Pope's talking about getting everybody together. He don't care what religion you are. Let's get together. We'll worship your God. You worship our God, so forth. Hello? Now, so we see right now, politically, it's being established. Economically, it's being established. But there's still got to be something that has to happen before spiritually or religiously it can be established. Okay? Okay, in Matthew 17, verse 1. Is everybody there? Now after what? Oh, hallelujah, that number 6 has come up again. See, now after 6 days, let me share this with you. The next 6 must be removed so that the Antichrist 6 can be established. I'll show you. Now after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, led them up on a high mountain by themselves, and he was what? Transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with him. Then Peter answered and said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." Now, I want to go back. How many days?
6 days.
6 days. Now, after 6 days, now 6 means the number of what?
Man.
Now, after 6 days, there was a transfiguration, wasn't there? And Moses and Elijah showed up. Okay. Okay, we have 6 days, and how many people were there? 6 people, 6 men. Jesus, Moses, Elijah, Peter, John, and James. Hallelujah. Hold on to this, all right? Let's go to 2 Peter 3. 2 Peter 3. Glory. 2 Pete chapter 3. Glory to God. And verse 7. "But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day." So we see here this was a prophetic time for me and you. One day with the Lord was as 1,000 years. So we see that God reinstated in 6 days, right? Which means 6,000 years. Because one day with the Lord is 1,000 years. So in 6 days, which represents 6,000 years now, from Adam to Jesus Christ was 4,000 years. From Jesus Christ to now is 6,000 years. We're in the 6,000th year. Actually, we're going through it. All right? We've completed 6,000 years. Is everybody with me?
Amen.
All right. So we're actually getting ready to enter the 7,000 year. Is everybody with me? Millennium. Now we know that our millennium doesn't start until we return. But the global, the world millennium has started already. It actually started at 2001. Now, it says after 6 days, or after 6,000 years, that Jesus was transfigured. 6 days. After 6 days, right? So, that has already been done, hasn't it? So we're coming to the point right now where that 6,000th year, after the 6,000th, that's you and me, we must be transfigured soon. The only way that the next six, the number six, can be fulfilled for the Antichrist is that this six be removed. Is everybody with me? Okay. Now, 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. All glory to God. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 15 and 51 and 52. Paul writing to his church again, he says, "Behold, I tell you a mystery. You shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruptible, and this mortal must put on immortality." So you understand what you saw happen to Jesus after the sixth day is going to happen to the body of Christ after the 6,000th year. So this sixth must be, is going to be replaced by another six. Is everybody with me? Good. Go to 2 Thessalonians 2. Let me explain this to you a little bit more in 2 Thessalonians 2. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I'm not going to get into depth about the rapture. We'll go into that maybe next week. But 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. It's under the T's. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. In verse 1, glory to God. And it starts off and says, "For you yourselves know, brethren, that our coming to you was not in vain." I'm in 1 Thessalonians, that won't work. Let me try 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2. "Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to Him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come." So we know that it hadn't come yet. "Let no one deceive you by any means, for the day will not come unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things?" See, Paul was always telling them about things that were about to happen. "And now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work, only he..." Now the word "he" here means the Holy Spirit and the body of Christ, "who now restrains, will do so until he is taken out of the way." Now, he, in other words, the body of Christ must be first taken out of the way before the other six can be manifest. Does everybody get it? Amen. Which is the religious rule. Why? Because we'll stoolie on them. Hallelujah. We'll tell. Praise God. We're going to tell them what the truth is. Praise be to God. So we see first, the next six cannot be established. The religious rule cannot be established until the body of Christ is out of the way, because it will come against it. Is everybody with me? Hallelujah. "And then," verse 8, "the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming." Now we know that this is later on. "And the coming of the lawless one is according to the working of" who? "Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteousness, deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved." So you understand that six, after 6,000 years, the body of Christ must be removed, because six is a representation of man. Hello, the man and woman of God must be removed. Okay? to fulfill those number seven of perfection and complete, and then the Antichrist six can come to pass. Okay? Good. Now let's go to somewhere. Let's go to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 34. A couple more scriptures and we're done. Hang on. Deuteronomy 34. Praise God. Now, you know, when Jesus was transfigured, right, Moses and Elijah showed up. Right? Okay, now I want to tell you about Moses, what he represented. But first I got to tell you what happened to him. Deuteronomy 34. 34 and verses 5 and 6. Now, you know, think about this. Are people falling under the 666 right now? Amen. There is a spiritual mark of 666 also that is manifesting in people's lives. That's how they go to hell, okay? How is that? Well, because the Bible says for me and you to come out from among them and be separate. Some people, they worship their job, they worship their money, and they worship anything else. Does everybody understand that? So those three sixes are still right now. It doesn't mean that that mark has been put on people, but there is a spiritual mark which gets someone into hell. Why? Because they will not receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, will they? So that mark is still there. Why? Because they still worship them. They worship their job, they worship their money, they worship things of the world. Absolutely. Is everybody with me? But we know that there will be a mark that will be manifested that will, in result, will get them thrown in a lake of fire. And Deuteronomy 34 and 5 and 6, it says, "So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And he," who? He. God. "Buried him in a valley in the land of Moab, opposite Beth Bur," Pearl. "But no one knows his grave to this day." So we see Moses was buried by God, wasn't he? Now, Moses and Elijah showed up, didn't he? At the Mount of Transfiguration with Jesus. I want to show you that Moses represents those who are dead in Christ and Elijah represents those who are alive in Christ. Is everybody with me? Moses represents those, why? Of that which was to come. Of the when? After the 6,000 year, when you and I are taken up. Okay? All right, now go to Jude 9. Now, Moses was buried, wasn't he? Okay. God buried Moses. Hallelujah. Go to Jude 9. Nobody knew where Moses was buried, did they? No man knew where Moses was buried. Jude 9, last book before Revelation. Jude 9. Glory to God. You remember Michael the archangel? He fights for the Israel and the Jewish people, right? Now Moses was Jewish, wasn't he? Hebrew? Okay. In verse 9 it says, "Yet Michael the archangel, in contending with the devil," does everybody see this? "When he disputed about the body of Moses." So the devil knew where Moses' body was buried. What, didn't he? "Dared not bring against him a reviling accusation, but said, 'The Lord rebuke you.'" Why? Because Moses, or the devil, wanted Moses' body. The Lord said, "No way." So Michael brought Moses' body home, and it became glorified. That's why that's known as the dead in Christ rising. Is everybody with me? Okay. That's why Moses and Elijah showed up when Jesus was transfigured, because Jesus represents the body of Christ. Moses represents those who are dead in Christ. Elijah represents those who are alive in Christ. Now let's go to 2 Kings 2. 2 Kings 2. We'll go into in-depth teaching about all the rapture, but not now. Hallelujah. 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 11. 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 11. Now we know Elijah was about to be taken up, and Elijah saw him, In fact, in verse 10 it says, if you see, Elijah told Elijah that if you see me get taken up, you can get the double portion of the anointing. Hallelujah. But in verse 11 it says, then it happened, and as they continued and talked, that suddenly a chariot of fire appeared with horses of fire and separated the two of them, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. So he was taken up alive, wasn't he? Now turn to 1 Thessalonians 4, and we'll end with this scripture. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Hallelujah. So you understand that we must be taken out of the way. The six must be taken out of the way for the other six to come into play. Praise be to God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Hallelujah. And verse 13. Now remember I shared with you, Jesus represented the body of Christ. Moses was those who are dead in Christ, raised. And Elijah was representation of those who are alive in Christ. And verse 13 it says, but I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep or died, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who are asleep in Christ, or those who have died in Christ. Is everybody with me? For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first, just like Moses. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. That's like Elijah, taken up alive. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Amen?
Amen.
Praise be to God. So we see that there are signs. There are seasons. There are times. We are children of light. We should know these things. We should know these things. It's important. Why? So we can prepare others. Amen. And show others. To God be the glory. Father, we thank you for your word. We ask that this seed be protected by the blood and imparted into your people to grow and bear fruit for your glory. In Jesus' name. And everybody said,
Amen.
Amen.